Brooke, I have some big news.
Okay.
The Moms on Maui summer dates yes. are live, and this will be the last Moms on Maui of 2024. So super stoked about it.
Yeah.
And it's just an incredible experience. I mean, you can tell people about it more than I can because I'm not allowed to come. Actually,
yeah, it is. It's so fun. It really is. So we've got two back-to-back weeks up of dates in July. So it's July 11 through 16 and then 18 through 23. So you can apply for which week works for you, or you can apply and check both boxes and say either works. Yeah. I just want to be there. I'm so excited about doing Moms on Maui again this year, because obviously last year when I did it, it was great. It was fun. It was all the things. Yep. But I feel like since then I have learned a lot and had some more ideas, and I have some surprises up my sleeve, and I'm just like, let's do it.
Yeah, there are literally boxes of goodies around us right now for Moms on Maui.
Yes.
The April ones that are coming out.
Yes.
But the July dates are live. You can find those at walkandlove.com/momsonmaui, or go to the show notes, or just go to our website and click on Moms on Maui.
Yeah.
Apply today, because spots are extremely, extremely limited.
Yes.
So yeah, go apply today. Hello and welcome to the Walk and Love podcast. I'm TJ.
And I'm Brooke.
And today we have something for you that might change your whole life. I was going to say.
Wow.
Because I feel like it's sort of changing our whole lives. Thank you for listening. Thank you for making us a part of your week. The Walk and Love podcast is a weekly conversation between Brooke and I about emotions, rhythms, marriage, parenting, and faith. It's a place where we laugh and sometimes cry as we try to find language to live a more joy-filled life. If you're looking for a more joy-filled life, you're in the
more
right
full life
place.
A wholeheartedly life.
Wholeheartedly life.
That also too, according to chat. We'll make you fart, remember?
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
Okay. You got the sponsor?
Sure. No, sure.
You want me to do it?
Ah, I don't know. I thought I was ready to read the review.
Okay. I'll do the sponsor.
Panic.
I'll do the sponsor.
Okay. Well, who's our sponsor, T?
Before we jump into today's episode,
tell us.
I want to tell you about an incredible one-day marriage event that will inspire and equip you and your spouse to elevate your relationship to new heights.
Tell me more.
It's called The Best Day. The Best is Yet to Come, and it's hosted by Brooke and I on July 9th, 2023 in Lancaster, Pennsylvania. Now, we all know that marriage can be both a great source of joy and a refining fire. If you've ever wondered whether your marriage can be revitalized, rekindled, or even just improved, and this event is for you. The Best is Yet to Come will provide you with practical communication tools and insight to help you and your spouse move forward together. Mm. Join Brooke and I with special guests, Dr. Josh and Christy Schraub, who will share their expertise on emotional safety and relationship resiliency. You'll also hear from Jeremy Gandolf Pryor, whose notes we're diving into today.
Yeah.
Who help you discover the essential steps to becoming a united family team, and honestly, probably just say something that just totally shifts your idea of how reality works.
You're like, oh, we're going to have such a great day. And then it's like, you're like holding onto your seat. It's like one of those rides that goes 0 to 60.
Oh, yeah, like Storm Chaser.
Right.
At Hershey Park.
You know, it's like not the slow climb of a roller coaster where you drop. It's like suddenly you're flying forward.
Yeah. And to keep things entertaining and hilarious, Brad Ellis will MC the event.
I'm sorry, who?
Brad Ellis from Ellis Custom Creations.
I really apologize
about that. So I actually put that on the website, like the page about the event. It's like Dr. Josh and Christy Schaub, Jeremy Pryor, Brad Ellis
from Ellis Custom Creations.
Which, like, as he's grown his audience, he's like less known.
Oh, 100%. He's way less known for his woodworking business. Not from the Ghost Runners podcast or from Gene Schwartz comedy. Nope.
From Ellis Custom Creations.
Yeah.
So if you're ready to invest in your marriage and believe that your best years are yet to come, head to the show notes to grab your early bird tickets before they run out. And don't forget to plan a fun date night after the event to process everything you've learned.
Yeah.
Trust us.
Yeah.
You won't want to miss this opportunity to strengthen your marriage and create a lasting memory. Go click, click, click to the show notes to secure your spot. And remember, your best marriage is yet to come.
Like, I mean this with, and it's not just because we're putting on the event. Like, I really mean this, that I wish there had been an event like this when we were in years 0 to 10 of our marriage.
I see what you're doing there.
But don't you?
I see what you're doing there. Absolutely.
Because I feel like, and I'm not like poo-pooing on other events in churches.
Let's tell the story.
Oh, we can get there. Like, okay. You know, I know there's marriage events that like you go to your church for an evening or like a special guest. Yep. Like, that's great. Go to those things.
Oh, 100%.
But I'm just so excited about the different people we're bringing and the combination that we're going to like offer
like
for
all,
people to come and take in.
All the teachers and speakers at Best Is Yet to Come are devout Christians, super God-focused and God-centered lives.
But they're also fun.
Well, but I also think what they're going to teach you is something that you'll sit there and you'll be like, why haven't I ever learned this in church?
Right. Yeah.
Because I think sometimes like church marriage events tend to play it a little bit more like Christianese.
Right.
A little bit more like safe. Like, let's just make sure that let's slap Jesus sticker on it over and over
like,
again.
Come for a night of laughter because we know you all need a break. Again, not a bad event. I love laughter.
I love it. I'm a huge fan.
Smiling's my favorite.
I'm a huge fan.
Yeah. What were we laughing at so hard the other day in the kitchen? It was just me and you. No one else in the house was laughing.
I don't know.
It was really dumb.
It happens but it so got often us. That I can't remember.
Oh, thanks, babe.
Yeah.
It's because I'm so funny, right?
Yeah. We'll go with that.
Sure. We can lie to people and tell them that if you want. Fine.
So
anyway, I really mean it. Like,
we really are obviously it's our event. We're super stoked about it, but
that's why we're putting it together.
Yeah, we want something that we wish we would have had 10 years ago.
Yeah.
So this is a funny story.
Have we
it's
ever
not
told
really
this?
Very funny. It's amusing.
We've never told this.
Oh no, we were laughing at peanut butter.
Oh, that's what we were laughing
There's
at.
A reel saved in my funny reels of this little kid.
Go to TJ's personal Instagram. Yeah. Go to funny, I think it's called funny reels, right? Highlights.
Yep.
Click through to the little boy reading the Nutella jar with your sound on.
N-U-T-E-L-L-A. He's like an African kid because he's got like a heavy African accent.
And then you hear the dad or whoever
says,
what's that word?
Peanut butter!
It's the best.
It's the best.
So
when Brooke and I got engaged, my parents bought us tickets to...
A Weekend to Remember.
Okay, I wasn't going to say the name, but you're just going to go for
it. Oh, sorry.
Weekend to Remember.
I'm not throwing it under the bus. I'm just
and
calling it what it
is. They were like, we went to this when we were newly married, and it was so like amazing and inspiring. And I was like, that sounds awesome. Like, we'll go there. And so Brooke and I, we're not even married yet.
No,
we're just engaged. We show up, and we realize very early
on. In Philadelphia. Yeah.
That we are definitely the youngest people here.
1,000%.
And that this event, which once used to be like a rah-rah,
Marriage
is going to be great, is now
this is your last chance to save your marriage event.com.
I'm not laughing at that. I'm laughing at Brooke and I am like walking in being like, we're going to get married.
This
we're
is great.
In love. And then the people sitting next to us, like not even looking at each other. Like I could feel their tension.
Oof. Yeah.
And so like we get back, we do the whole thing. It was great. Like there were some great takeaways. We had a ton
we,
of fun.
We bought
doing.
A board game in the lobby.
We were
that
like,
was so fun.
Yeah. We were like ready to do this marriage thing.
Yeah.
And my parents were like, how was it? We're like, well the vibe has changed a little bit.
The
vibe has changed a little bit. So, but with that being said, whether you're newly engaged,
yes,
just married,
yeah,
10 years in, 20 years in, I think there's going to be takeaways and things for everyone.
Absolutely.
Whether your marriage is going really smoothly or
somebody else can watch your kids.
Whether you're in a season of Googling bridges and, you know,
to sleep under.
It's for everyone. So
it is.
Review
okay. Should I read the review of the week? Now I'm ready. Okay. 5 stars. Need a new favorite podcast? Look no further. First of all, favorite is not spelled the American way.
Ooh.
So I jumped down and realized from
Germany.
This is a review from Germany. I can't do an accent the whole time, but that's okay. I have laughed out loud about their jokes and funny stories, and I've cried with Brooke and occasionally TJ.
Oh, let's go.
Yes. The podcast is also my go-to when I want some deeper insights into what it means to live a life filled with healthy relationships, closeness to God, joy, and kindness. It's an added bonus that they make you feel like you're a part of their gang. Hashtag butt clenchers for life. Hey-o. I cannot recommend this podcast enough. Listen and see for yourself what I'm babbling on about. Smiley face. From Germany.
Wow. Wow, wow, wow.
I know. That's why it stood out because I was like, favorite? Who spells it that way?
Yeah.
Oh, Smile More. 19287 spelled
yeah,
like that.
Yeah, obviously. I knew that was Smile More. From the moment you said it. You said German fan.
Boom.
I was like, oh, Smile More.
Yeah. I'm a fan.
Okay. We have segments today. You have a game changer and yes. I have a strong feeling. Why don't I start?
Sure.
Okay.
Hit me with your strong feeling.
Okay. So we just had Easter.
Yeah.
He is risen.
Indeed.
Do it right. Do it right, babe.
He is risen indeed.
You come on. Say the whole I thought thing. You were a Christian, but now I'm kind of concerned.
Ha. Is that even a Christian thing or is that a Catholic thing?
I don't know. Well, they're Catholics or Christians.
No, I know that. But like, is it? Oh, geez.
We just
stop.
Opened a can of worms.
Stop.
Call the Pope.
Pope's Catholic. I'm kidding. I know that. I'm just making sure everybody
I
else
I do
knew
feel
that.
Like what Protestants could learn from Catholics is like the deep reverence true Catholics seem to have for like the holiness of God.
Yeah.
So anyways, it was just Easter. And so our kids got Easter baskets.
Yes.
All filled with Bible tracts because that's how strong of Christians we are.
Open the egg. Boom.
Bible tracts.
Genesis.
Oh, it's books of the Bible.
It's book by book. I have printed them out and they fit inside the eggs.
They get 4,000 eggs. And once you open them all, you're reading the Bible.
It's complete. It is finished. All right there. Sorry. Anyway, our kids got Easter baskets. Oh, no. Sorry.
Okay.
Do you have more? Or am I that funny? I'm nervous.
Oh, it's just so... This is so fast. Okay, so our kids got Easter baskets. In each basket was a Mario toy.
Yes.
So also our nieces and nephews are here. My brother and his family are here from Kansas City.
Yes. So I was filling 6 Easter baskets with Lindsay's help.
Yeah.
Like she brought some stuff. Yeah. I got some stuff.
And so
we
there
had
were
candy, books, fun things.
3 Mario toys. Each of our girls got one. Mm-hmm. Obviously, we saw the Mario movie. I've seen it twice now. June and Sunny have seen it twice. It's mm-hmm. awesome. And this is my strong feeling.
Mm-hmm.
When toys are created,
mm-hmm.
at like a figurine.
A kid's toy.
And
figure.
You set it on its figurine feet, and it does not stand.
Mm-hmm. It falls over.
What kind of monster?
What the people?
is designing toys this way?
Yeah.
There's a Mario. Fire Mario.
Right.
You know, you got the fire flower. He's ready to throw the fireballs.
Yeah.
Looks like he's running. Put him on his one foot. Bloop.
Sand falls bloop. Over.
I'm like, okay, that's like a more advanced, like 1 foot. Maybe that's just this one's off balance. Benefit of the doubt.
Yeah.
Daisy gets a Birdo character, which is the like dinosaur that shoots the eggs.
Yeah, boop. The pink one.
Boop. Just standing on 2 feet with its arms to its side. Put it on its feet.
Boop. Falls over.
Falls over. Only 1 of 3 stood. And so those are my feelings. And they're very strong.
That's dumb. That's real dumb.
Back in my day, toys used to stand up for themselves.
Yeah.
But and so did our country.
But I actually think that they did.
Yes, 100%.
I remember my toys standing and Taylor's standing.
You could get every G.I. Joe to stand unless it was like, unless it had like city miles on it. And it's like been around the block and falling out of windows and stuff. And then its legs get like all wobbly.
And
the
you can't,
rubber band gets too loose.
Yeah.
My dad used to fix them.
That adds up.
That adds up big time. Okay.
My game changer.
Game changer. Changes to the game in a way that the game can never be played the same way again.
You don't have the button.
I don't.
It's not on this one. No. Mine is one that's not new to me, but I was reminded about how much I love it today when I got a new one from Target.
Oh, thanks, babe.
Yeah.
Is it marrying me?
Oh, yes, but I didn't get a new one from Target.
Oh, I'm
new to you. is my nail polish remover pot from Olive & June. So Olive & June is one of the many clean nail polish brands. It's hands down the best.
Okay.
I have a lot of their nail polishes. Yep. That is a fact. But what they have is this little nail polish pot that has this sponge inside. So it has your remover in there, the liquid. All soaked up in the sponge. And depending on which one you get, there's also a little sponge that comes off in the lid if you needed to remove polish on your toenails. And
you just go boop, boop,
you
boop.
Just stick your finger in there and swirl it around. Right? Wow. How's your hole, T, from the beach? Is it good?
Good.
Okay, good. and it takes off your nail polish. No terrible remover, no cotton pads, no cotton balls. It's
finger in a hole.
It's just a finger in a hole pot, and it's the best. Wow. It's so quick and easy.
Wow.
It's one of those things where it's like,
why didn't this exist before?
Yes, because a version of it exists when you go to a salon. Like I've been to ones where they have like pre,
like why like, did the like technology only ever advance to that like bottle
that you're dumping onto something else?
Yeah.
Yeah. So
game changer.
They don't have everything available at Target from Olive and June, but they do have a tiny little section
That is there. Okay. But we'll also worth link it in case you want to just order it online.
Yes. Go quick. Way more stuff online. That's
fine. Okay. How was your week?
It was good. It was good. We've had a full week since recording. Yeah.
Yeah. Super Hawaiian.
Yeah. We have had your brother and sister-in-law in town and their kids, which is fun. They're so chill, and the girls are loving having cousins to play with. And yeah, we had like a fun Easter weekend, did all of our Easter stuff in the morning, and then went up to the Bethke's for like a Easter dinner thing.
And you had said something real sweet, which I then passed along to Jeff.
Oh.
That like, it's interesting to think that our kids, like June and Sunny and Daisy, will have such, because we, you know, the Bethke's are, they host a lot of holiday events.
They do host,
which is awesome.
Stuff. Yeah.
They've got a great house for it, and there's tons of stuff to do. And
a lot of people who like don't have other family to go be with, we all kind of gather there.
Yep. And you were saying like, it will be cool to see how our girls, like the fond memories they have of the Bethke house because of like, oh, this is where I spent every Easter for 10 years or whatever.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
And you know, this is where my Thanksgivings were when we weren't sick.
Yeah.
right. And so, yeah. And he was like, oh, that's so good. Oh, you know.
Yeah. Clapping, yelling, yelling at you about how great it is. Yeah. But
he did cook ham to perfection.
Yeah. It was next level.
Yeah.
I didn't get to stay through most of Easter because poor Daisy was
just a rough, like
she was
2 days.
Having a rough couple days. Turns out it was roseola, totally justified with the rash all over her body and her fevers. And that all made sense.
That
but,
made sense.
You know, she's 1.5-year-old can't really communicate that. So, but all that aside, Easter was great. And then by then your family was here and we've been beaching it up,
which is like, it's a reminder I need. There's an element of my life where I feel like I need to go 100% all the time on work because especially like, you know, that's a way, like when I get stressed out about something, I'm like, work will help me solve that thing.
Yes. Work makes you feel more in control.
Which I'm not in control.
Right.
God is in control.
Yeah.
And so it is a helpful reminder to, and we obviously take a Sabbath and we slow down, we put our tools down and all this kind of stuff, but it's been very helpful for me to be like, no, this is okay. This is okay to rest and be still and sit on this beach with my brother and his kids and his wife and just be.
Yeah. Because again, that's 3 days.
Yeah.
Out of 365 days a year. You know, and so it but I feel you. Mm-hmm. It can get really like, feelings inside.
But it's been good. My brother, Nick, thinks that I'm one of the funniest people on the planet. And that's so nice. When he's here, I'm definitely encouraged by his laughter.
Yeah.
Because he gets
you guys
like,
were laughing really hard. What about the cruise your family took?
Oh, yeah. So we went on a cruise, all six of us and my parents. And
were they there, though? That's the question.
That's the question we were asking. So we're driving to go see Mario together. Brooke and Lindsay and Daisy stayed home. So it was just us and the kids.
Yeah.
And we're driving and I don't know how we brought it up. Oh, there was a cruise ship parked
in the
harbor.
The, yeah.
And we could see it. I was like, look at that cruise. He's like, well, that's big. And it's like, do you remember our cruise? And so.
Because Nick's 3 years older than you?
Yeah. So he was a senior when I was a freshman.
Okay.
So.
How I do all math for all of time.
100%. We're both in our 30s. Actually, he's 40 now.
Right.
So.
But that doesn't matter. I just need to know that you overlapped in high school and by how much.
100%.
And now I have full context for the rest of your life.
So it must have been when I was like in middle school that we went on this cruise and it was like a celebration of adopting Michael and Victoria.
Yeah.
And so we were going to fly to California, get on this boat with my mom and my mom's sister and her family.
Okay.
And so One immediate disappointment about the cruise is that the pool is salt water.
Yeah.
And I didn't know that. No one knew that.
Yeah.
Disgusting.
That's typical and for cruises.
And it's not like regular salt water. It's like
it smells bad.
Deep sea. They might have sucked up a whale carcass salt water because it smelled.
It's a whale carcass pool.
So like, I don't think I swam the
whole
time.
Just like you see on the commercials.
Yeah.
Everybody's so happy.
Oh, lies.
Looks like a water park. Mm-mm.
So that was the first thing that we talked about. But then I also remember like I got sick on the boat. Threw up in my bed.
Which is not funny, but it's funny now.
And then at one point it was coming out of both ends. I'll just say it that way. On the toilet, barfing in a trash can.
Oh, been there.
And then I like just kind of roll into the shower because I'm the disgusting monster human. And I don't remember my parents being there. Like they must have had their own room and me and Nick were sharing. Nick's obviously not comforting me. He's asleep.
Yeah. So that adds up for Nick. Nick is often asleep when he shouldn't be.
I'm just laying in the shower crying.
Yeah.
Covered in vomit and crap.
I'm sure a parent was around at some point, but it must not have been like.
Yeah. And so, but then I also remember that like I was too young to go to like the young adults stuff.
Yeah.
Like the teenager stuff.
Right.
But I was also too old for the kiddie stuff.
Yes.
So I was like right in that awkward age and I had a little Russian brother following me around anywhere. So all that we did was play N64 in like the entertainment room on like a tube television. And then at one point we were playing shuffleboard. We're like, do you think we could push these pieces off the boat?
Yes.
And Michael's like, he can barely speak his English. He's like, yeah, I like it, that boat. I'm like, all right, let's do it. So if you ever find a shuffleboard piece in the middle of the Pacific,
that's you guys.
That's my bad.
Credit where credit is due.
And then at one point during the cruise, Michael got so mad at us. And again, he's new to America. He's on a boat. You know, his life has done a whirlwind in the last year.
Yeah.
He gets so mad at us.
Because he would be like, what, 8?
Yeah. That he sprints away from us as fast as he can.
He thinks I'm going to run away from these people.
But we're on a boat in the ocean. And he ran so hard. Into a glass door, but it wasn't a clear glass door. It had like this big, like
wave pattern. I'm sure, so people don't run into it. Maybe his eyes were closed. Let's give him maybe.
So hard. I'm shocked to this day that the door didn't shatter.
Yeah, or that he didn't buck out.
and there were people on the other side. And then, but he didn't like come to his senses.
No,
he bounced off. Open the door.
Kept running. Wow.
But yeah, it was quite the cruise. And I also remember my cousins, we only had two cousins.
Yeah.
So that were there with us in that family. They got the all you can drink soda pass. And I remember.
That's the dream.
That's the dream.
When you're that age.
We didn't get it. There were six of us.
I don't even like soda.
I love soda at that point in my life.
But couldn't you, isn't it like Disney or somewhere where it's a cup specific or no?
You had a wristband.
Okay, so you couldn't have shared it.
No.
Armor Town.
We should have sliced some wristbands.
Why is your wristband so skinny?
Don't worry about it.
Because you cut it into 6 strips. That's so dumb, but it's like this tiny little piece of string. This counts though, right?
Yeah. Oh, you need to see all of it? Siblings assemble!
Unite!
But I remember that. I remember being very, very frustrated about that. But I'm just like, Nick and I were sort of talking about it. Like, we were just like allowed to do whatever we wanted. I don't know. My parents just like needed a full week off.
It was the 90s. Yeah. They can't get off this boat until we stop. And then, of course, they could get off the boat.
But yeah, wild.
Anyways, that is wild. That's funny.
So yeah, it's been good times reminiscing, being with my brother. But today we're going to talk about something, like I said earlier, that might rock you to your very core. And let me give a few disclaimers.
Okay.
This is from Integrated. This is the last set of Integrated notes.
Wow.
Which I'm glad we...
I love it.
Love spreading them out.
Love spreading
Big
it
fan.
Out.
So Jeremy Pryor is speaking to a group of business owners.
Yes.
Who all want to live... like he does.
Right.
Essentially. Live biblically.
Right.
Live more biblically when it comes to the sense of family.
Right.
Less in sort of like the westernized family.
Yeah.
Some of you will listen to this and think, this is impossible for me.
Because of my life circumstances.
Because of my life circumstances, all this kind of stuff.
Yes.
And like we say with Sabbath.
Yeah.
Just start with one day.
Start somewhere.
Start somewhere. Start small. See what happens.
Mm-hmm. Number two. Or throw it all out. Get a new job. That works too. I'm just kidding.
We have said that.
But I'm not kidding at the same time. Don't start small if you feel the nudge to start big. I think that's what I
number two
trying to say.
I oftentimes, like, I oftentimes when I see a list like this or hear notes like this, I can feel very intimidated that I'm already behind.
Yeah.
And that what's
your
the point?
Not big enough. Oh.
What's the point of catching up if I'm already behind?
Right.
And so I would just encourage you that are listening to have, especially those of you who are married. If you're single, this is sort of just like a,
hey, something to think about and chew on.
Something
before
to think
you
about
and
chew on. And maybe this is a conversation you have when you start dating someone or all this kind of stuff.
Yeah.
We've been asked quite a few times about like singleness and what all this has to do with singleness. And I'll be blunt. Most of our talking and advice is for married people.
Yeah.
And so if you are single, then my
first of all, kudos to listening for a podcast like this where we mostly are talking to married people.
1,000%. That's incredible.
Yeah.
But if you are single, like what I would say is like all of this stuff just becomes like questions, topics of conversation,
tools to pick up at that point
for
in time.
The person to have with the person when you start getting serious about maybe getting married.
Yeah.
Sabbath rhythm, living rhythmically separate. I think you
that
can live
that, I think,
that
yes.
transcends
yes.
any sort of like relational status.
Yeah.
So those are my two disclaimers.
Right.
And then my third one is there were, again, this is a group of people who are like, a lot of these guys are super successful. All these guys are super successful.
Mm-hmm.
Some are like crazy successful.
Right. Hard to fathom. Successful.
Yeah. Like,
I'm sorry.
Can you share your debit card number with me?
Yeah. I don't think you'd notice.
let's just test it out.
Right.
See if you do notice.
Let's cut it into six pieces and divide it up.
Me, Brad.
I need the piece with the chip, please.
It's on the chip. but like this specific talk rocked so many guys' worlds, myself included.
Yeah.
And came home and then rocked Brooke's world.
Yeah.
And so.
And I think that was the same for everybody else.
Because
the couple wives I do know from the group were like, what? Like,
and I think,
what are
I
we
think
doing?
The reason it's so impactful is, and again, this is just how I think now. I feel like I'm becoming more bold in how I think.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we went to public school and learned nothing, essentially.
Yeah, right.
And we're given no outline for life other than just go to college.
Yes, that's what we're working towards.
And so when we go to college and then, you know, and then there was the outline of like get married and have kids. Go to college, get married, have kids. That's
again,
sort of the general
like straightforward trajectory
of life
with milestones.
There is so much in that.
Yeah.
So how do we stay married? How do we improve our marriage? What does it look like when we're married? How do two schedules work? When we had kids, what does that look like? What are we working towards?
Yeah.
And so when Jeremy Pryor speaks, I listen because he's about 20 years ahead of me.
Maybe.
Yeah.
I don't really know his exact
age. About 20 years ahead of me. And he's like actually thought deeply about all these things and has tinkered with them and tried things and failed and has come up with ideas on like basically like a life outline.
Yeah.
Which imagine that if you have an outline for life.
Right. You get to fill in the in-betweens and it's not like this carbon copy type thing, but anyway.
So this talk was called The Elder Path. What is the good life?
Got good life.
We don't need older men telling us that in our 20s, when we have the most freedom to indulge in the good life.
Mm.
We don't need that. And I feel like that's all that culture does.
Yeah.
Currently.
Yeah.
You know, culture's even doing that to like an even more extreme degree. It's like, do whatever you want, follow your heart, but you're also a victim and everyone has made you the way you are. So suffer, but also get your way. But Even so when you confusing. Get your way, you're still a suffering victim and blah, 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 blah.
Yeah.
Then he read Psalm 128. Blessed is everyone who fears the Lord, who walks in his ways. You shall eat the fruit of the labor of your hands. You shall be blessed, and it shall be well with you. Your wife will be like a fruitful vine within your house. Your children will be like olive shoots around your table. Behold, thus shall the man be blessed who fears the Lord. The Lord bless you from Zion. May you see the prosperity of Jerusalem all the days of your life. May you see your children's children. Peace be upon Israel. Mm-hmm. The grandfather who lives to see his children's children, that's the good life.
Yeah.
Not indulging in whatever you want in your 20s and 30s.
Yeah.
It's the grandchildren who gets to see his children's children. Again, speaking to men.
Right, right.
Grandmother as well.
Yes. But yeah, I mean, that is culture. Like, oh, I peaked in ninth grade.
Yeah.
I peaked when I was 22.
You definitely did not peak in ninth grade.
Me?
Yeah.
No. Mm-mm. For sure not. Actually, ninth grade probably wasn't too bad. It would have been more like seventh and eighth. I don't know a single girl who does.
Oh, man. I did not peak on that cruise. I can tell you that.
Right no. Now. Uh-uh. I can tell you that, and it wasn't even there. You had to have smelled a certain way. And then you add the whale carcass pool and that you were exploding out of both ends. And I just feel like, no wonder your parents weren't around. They were like, TJ smells too bad.
So, it is hard for me to watch home videos of myself because of how annoying I was. Mm-hmm. And I'm just like, oh, why did anyone?
So when you watch, because I've seen it happen, yeah. And I've seen you physically have to leave the room. And then we've talked about it.
Yeah.
What you feel in yourself is annoyance.
And embarrassment.
You're embarrassed. Sorry. Yeah. You're embarrassed that you were annoying.
The chair behind is that I'm embarrassed that I wasn't socially aware to pick up.
See, that's interesting. Because if I watch something of me, I don't feel that I was annoying. I feel that I was very like know-it-all. I don't know. I can't even think of what other words. But what I feel is embarrassed that I wasn't aware.
Yeah.
So I wonder if everybody, when older and you have the awareness... I mean, that's part of the beauty of kids is that they're so unaware
and they're just
that
like,
they live their their best life.
Like one time when Michael was super Russian at this point. A lot of Russian Michael stories.
Yeah.
My brother is adopted from Russia. That's yes. who I'm talking about, my younger brother.
Yeah.
My mom's uncle, Uncle Rick, was coming to visit us. And Uncle Rick has got a bit of a beer belly.
Yeah.
And so my mom was terrified that Michael was going to say something like, oh, look how fat he is or something like that. Like
yeah.
he just had no filter. He was learning English. So he just like said yes. whatever he wanted, kissed whatever girl he wanted on the playground.
True.
Wore whatever pink windbreaker he wanted to in life. He was just new to America, full speed ahead.
Yeah.
And Uncle Rick pulls up. We're living in Pennsylvania. I remember this. We were on the driveway and he gets out of the car. And first thing Michael says, hey, mom, his belly's not that big.
Oh, like, which is, I actually
actually worse.
Think worse.
That's worse. Because
it proves you've talked about it and said, get it together, kid. Instead of your kid just being like, bleh, you know.
Yeah, and you're just like, oh, I'm so sorry. Like
oh, I'm so sorry. Yeah. You know, whatever, whatever.
You know, like
he's
when Sunny,
Russian. That's fine.
Yeah. He's mostly Russian still. But anyway. Yeah. So,
yes.
Yeah, I'm just embarrassed of the unawareness.
Yeah.
So
I feel the same way, but in a different way.
Okay, so...
Yes, the grandfather / grandmother who lived to see their children's children is the good life.
Is the good life.
That
so
will preach.
What does it look like to get the good life? So here is how Gandalf broke it down for us. years 0 to 10, and this is years of marriage. And so this is where you might feel, I'm behind. Mm-hmm. I don't have any of this incorporated. And
right.
that's why we have this podcast, because we're incorporating these things.
As we go.
As we go.
And learn about it.
We may be like a few years ahead of you, or we might have one more kid than you, or we, like whatever. Like we are learning these things. We are trying to incorporate these things. And then we're trying to share that information in hopes that it helps you incorporate them.
In pretty real time.
And yeah, 100%.
Like, yeah. Maybe we're like a week or two delayed on a topic because we've been talking yeah. about it, trying to figure it
but
out.
But a lot of these conversations are like, they're happening in the kitchen below.
Yeah.
In the kitchen below. And then we walk upstairs
below
before
the
podcast
deck.
And we talk about them here. And so,
yeah.
I mean, for those of you who've listened to a lot of episodes, like there isn't a lot of filter here. It's pretty obvious. And so, yeah. So I just want to encourage you to push past, because I can feel this way. Push past the feelings of insecurity or the feelings of unworthiness.
Or the feelings that I should have been more aware.
Sooner. Yeah.
I'm embarrassed I didn't know sooner.
Because you can always know things sooner. That is like...
You could feel that for your whole life.
You could feel that for your whole life. And
should have known this sooner. Yeah. Yeah.
So he breaks it down. Zero to 10 of marriage.
Okay.
10 to 20.
Of marriage.
Of marriage. And then 20 to 30, which has an asterisk that's... It says, Jeremy is testing this out right now. He'll let us know in 5 years.
I love that.
Which I just like. And then he's like, he has categories and then the principle and the thing to watch out for.
Yes.
Again, I'll share these notes. Let's just do this. Anytime we have notes that I need to share, message us on Instagram.
Yeah.
The number of episodes. So like 165.
Ooh.
And that'll shoot you the notes.
That's good moving forward, yeah. Instead of a specific word.
And then I'll link them. Like, because it's just a blog post. I'll link it to in the show notes as well. But if you want to just go through Instagram, you can message us there.
Yeah.
Whatever. Again, it's just like helpful to read them specifically when we're doing some of these like deeper, heavier things.
Yeah. You want to see it in writing.
Okay. So years 0 to 10.
Okay.
He's got.
So we were in that from 2009.
Yep.
To 2019.
Yep.
Which is very interesting to put our dates to it.
So
because of what was going on in our life then.
The categories are kids, money, wife, rhythm, house.
Okay.
So kids in years 0 to 10, have them early and often.
Yeah. We got started halfway through.
That's probably one of my bigger regrets in life.
We've talked about that.
Is that we didn't start sooner.
Yeah.
Because not because I thought we were like super ready and prepared, although I think it would have ushered in a season of being ready and prepared, but I long for it now.
Yeah.
I 1,000% wish we had more kids than we do right now. Mm-hmm. And not to say that the Lord won't provide or that we're not, you know, again, it's just been very difficult for Brooke physically. Right. And so there's an element of that. But yeah, have kids early and often. Principle, when you have kids in your 20s, it determines what your family will look like in your 60s.
Mm.
And so think about that. If you're 22 and you just got married, like,
right.
Your kid could be 40 by the time you're 60.
Yeah.
That's
goosebumps. Yeah. I mean, I think I was afraid. I'll say afraid because that's what it was.
Mm-hmm.
It was two part. I was afraid to have kids sooner in marriage because I didn't know what that was going to look like.
Yep.
So it was a version of a control thing, but also paired with, I had no vision or outline or template or understanding of why it would matter to have them sooner.
Yeah, no one.
Other than like, oh, you're from a conservative area. Everybody has kids young.
Yeah.
I'm like, that doesn't really tell me anything.
Yep.
If anything, it was like, have your time, just you two. And I'm not saying have zero time.
No.
Just you two. There is value in that. But have conversations about, could we move it up?
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
and if
again,
the answer is no, the answer
was not
is no.
Taught in church,
but right,
like we weren't given a vision for what our life was going to be like in our 60s,
mm-hmm.
and so we had no sort of idea in our 20s.
Yeah,
and then there's the principle, and then there's the thing to watch out for.
Mm.
Watch out making a permanent decision based on a temporary physical exhaustion. So let's say you have 3 kids right now. You're 27 years old.
Yeah.
And you guys are exhausted, tired.
Yes.
And you're thinking about going and getting snip-snapped. Snip-snap, snip-snap.
Do you have any idea?
And that's a temporary physical exhaustion. And so
the season of just
really being tired. I think marital intimacy is at its worst from when you have any kids from 0 to 5.
Mm-hmm.
And so, again, best is yet to come. We'll talk. Josh and Chrissy will dive into that kind of stuff, which is awesome.
Yeah.
Basically just watch out. Don't snip-snap.
Right. Or don't make a, I'll never have more. We can't afford it. We can't afford it in money or time or energy or anything because you're in the season of exhaustion.
Yep.
Think of your 6-year-old self.
Yep.
And see if that changes things. Yeah.
Okay. Money.
Okay.
Use time to build assets. The principle.
Mm.
You build a business by saying yes. You scale a business by saying no.
Mm-hmm.
And so when you're in year zero to 10, again, he's talking to business owners, but I think this is like, if you have just a regular job, I don't say that with like any sort of condemnation or judgment.
Yeah. But we can call it that. That's an easy way to differentiate. Like,
are you building assets or are you just spending your money on whatever you want.
Right.
You know?
Because at that point in the game, marriage-wise, year zero to 10, you have time on your side to build something slowly over time.
Yeah, you either have zero kids or you have one kid, you're young.
Yeah.
You know, you can probably live pretty frugally.
Yeah.
You might not have a lot of financial responsibility. And so there is an element of that. And I guess I'll share all my regrets about this.
Sure.
Is that I feel like I was a little bit frivolous with money during those times. Again, I didn't have a vision for what I was trying to do.
Right.
I did, you know, for me, it was like, you get married, you buy a house. Well, we bought a house like 6 months into our marriage.
Yeah.
And so it was like, okay, well, I did that.
Right. Now what?
You know, now what?
Now I guess it's just money to have and spend. You know, like you save what you need to save, but then.
And so there wasn't this like big vision for what that income is for.
Right. And I don't feel, correct me if I'm wrong, I don't feel like we made any big dumb purchases ever. It was the small stuff.
Yeah.
It was that because we didn't have a vision it was going towards,
it was just,
it
like,
just
oh,
kind of trickled out towards other things without much
purpose. And I
think
we were
purpose.
Like a little bit naive on how to run our businesses.
Mm.
And so, you know, I mean, we used to joke that like our business model was, let's try this.
Mm-hmm.
And I think there was some frivolousness in trying things with our money that we've tightened up and locked down more so later in life. And so, yeah, if I could go back and tell myself something, it'd be like, hey, save.
Yeah.
Save, invest.
Save with a vision.
Vision of what you want to do. And,
and
if you don't have a vision, just save a lot. Like that's kind of what I wish I would have done.
And then ask for a vision.
Yeah.
Pray about it. Yeah. Talk about it. And it might change over time. You might spend a lot of time saving for one thing and then the Lord shifts it. But
and then the thing to watch out for with your money in year zero to 10 is that you don't switch teams. You don't switch from the family team to the business team. Like because, and that's really, I feel like that is very much a warning to men out there who like, we get a lot of satisfaction and a lot of fulfillment from our work.
Yeah.
And we come home and our kids are whining, or, you know, we come down from upstairs and the kids are whining. Our wife is stressed. Like, we're like, this is not, I get more people acknowledge me when I do my job.
Right.
And so we can switch teams in those years because it's a little
You're
bit
in
more,
the season of exhaustion, most likely, so, with kids. Yeah.
That's a watch out. So
watch out.
Watch out. I like that. Okay. Category wife.
Okay. Ready, so we did this? Kids. We did money in years zero to 10. Now this is your wife.
Create a co-founder culture. Our family is a startup and Brooke and I are the co-founder. So if you're near in zero to 10.
I love, because again, they often tie it into business language, which is, we talk about a lot, like why are businesses built with systems and organization and all this energy and therapy going into it and all these people to do this thing and move it forward. And then we go home and it's like just sheer chaos.
Yeah.
Nobody has a plan at all. That doesn't add up. So I love the mental image of a startup.
Yeah. So what is your startup? What does it look like?
Yeah.
How do you guys operate?
Yeah.
What does the office space look like?
Yes.
You know, all of it. And it's just that language will.
What's your brand?
What's your brand? Yep. the principle, craft a united vision for the future. And again, this can be something very broad. It can be something that's like just mission statement-y. You know, it can be like your holy discontent on what you feel is wrong with the world and how you want to fix it. It can be a lot of things, but again, it's going to be a co-founder culture with your wife.
Yeah. I think if we had crafted a united vision of our future and written it down year zero to 10,
I wouldn't have had some of those regrets I have right now.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That's what I was going to say. Just like,
and maybe I can talk to Jeremy about the event. Cause like we've gotten quite a few messages like, hey, I'm just engaged. Like, should I come?
Yeah.
About just like basically giving a version of this talk because I think it would just hearing it from him. And obviously like I'm taking notes, typing as I go,
the
you know,
whole time.
And so, and then watch out.
Oh, okay. For what?
Creeping separateness that erodes companionship.
Mm-hmm.
So like that, I mean, again, marital dissatisfaction is at its lowest when you have young children in the house.
Yeah.
And so you can just end up being like roommates or ships in the night. And so you have to just be on guard for that creeping separateness.
Yeah. Not be so embarrassed to say, oh, it's happening.
Yeah.
To name it and call it out in a kind, gentle way. So that you can, because you can't do anything about it unless you've named it.
Yeah, I don't have any, like, you're a great wife. So.
Thank you. I don't feel like we were separate.
No. I don't know if we had the co-founder exactly, culture.
What I don't feel like was necessary was that we were maybe super united over one vision. Mm-hmm. Again, you know, we had that episode way back about get in the boat. But yeah. When you get married, you're not just joining your two little canoes together with a little bridge where you're like, you are literally both climbing out of that boat into a new boat where you're sitting in it together.
Yeah.
And you've left the other two behind.
Yeah.
And I feel like for years we
tied our boats together and it was like, oh, now we're closer and we're sort of on the same track. And then like, oh, they've drifted apart a little bit, but not like in a, like a.
Oh, interesting. I feel like where I was going is that I feel like we got in the boat, but we didn't know where we were going.
Yeah.
Like we had no, we weren't talking about the direction of the boat.
Right. No family
outside
mission.
Outside of business.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, that's
probably
good.
Both. Maybe we were dragging our other boats behind. Who knows?
Who knows?
A lot of boat talk.
Okay. Not as much boat talk as I thought we'd have. Okay. So that's any sort of regrets on that?
Money, wife.
My wife?
I don't think so. So much of years 0 to 10 were tied up for me in really 5 to 10, like pregnancy being difficult,
voice issues.
Being gone.
Yeah.
Surgeries, like me just navigating, and I'm still like that trickled into years 10 through 20 a little bit, but just like when I think back to those times, that was the hovering darkness.
Yeah. And so it kind of prevented some of this stuff.
Absolutely.
But praise the Lord for healing.
Yeah.
Amazing. Stop it.
I know.
Okay. Kids, money, wife, rhythm, Sabbath, principle, taste the kingdom every 7 days.
Yes.
We've gone into this many, many times. We are working on an incredible course.
Yeah.
Called Rhythms Made Simple, where we've kind of taken all the stuff we've learned, read, consumed, and just are going to
put it all in one place.
Put it all in one place for you. An investment into your family and your culture of your family.
Yeah.
That I think will be well worth it. So but taste and see the kingdom of God every 7 days.
Yeah.
As literally.
Think about your life as a 6-year-old when you've been doing that from years 0 to 10. And then you keep going, like you're a different person then.
Your family culture is just
radically different.
Radically different. Watch out. not understanding that it takes work to rest.
Right. It's a different kind of work.
Can't rest all week and then rest again.
Right.
Like you got to have skin in the game. You got to be working hard
the other
days in your life. And actually, you know, we have this family prayer that we say before our Sabbath. We are a family that loves Jesus, seeks rest, chooses joy, and walks in love. And 2 weeks ago, I said, hey, we need to add something.
Yeah.
You know, and so it's now we are a family that loves Jesus,
works hard,
seeks rest, chooses joy, and walks in love. Because it does. And we've really experienced that this year where I feel like last year and a half has been sort of apathetic in terms of work or maybe frustrated
and
confused, a lot of different things.
My main thing would be confusion.
But this year, 2023, has been very activated in work. And I've enjoyed Sabbaths a lot more this year.
Same.
Because I think we're talking about a change in the rhythm in the work schedule for the next 5 weeks because we got a lot to do in the best way possible.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So a skill, this is like just an extra note, a skill to build is how do you rest in 24 hours?
Yeah.
And that's
like a muscle to build.
And that absolutely takes practice, but you will become, if you start taking a weekly Sabbath and a weekly rhythm, you'll become so well practiced in it that the second the family movie starts on Friday night, you'll be asleep.
Speaking for myself,
that like my body physically starts to know what's coming.
And that it can,
and it's like,
not
oh,
check out entirely,
but it's like, hey, you've made it.
I'm done here. Yeah.
Here's your rest.
Yeah.
Take it. And it's the sweetest tasting nap I've ever, like I take,
yeah.
You know, it's just, it, yeah. So, okay. House.
Mm-hmm. Kids, money, wife, rhythm, house.
Establish a culture first principle. Make your house a theme park for your family values, which is again, a phrase that you just.
I love that.
Love that.
Which is funny because you describe your table of dominoes like a theme park and mine is very much not that. But I do love that idea. You know, that's one of the coolest things about going somewhere like Disney is that, you know, you go into the Toy Story section or you go into the Cars section. I've said it before. I'm not even like a massive Cars movie fan.
Right.
I think I've seen all three, but it took me not until I had kids did I see all three. And that is one of my favorite parts of the park of
you're
Disneyland
just immersed into it.
Is you are fully immersed in the Cars world, yeah. and every little detail is specific to that movie or those yeah. movies and that brand. And I think if we came into someone's home and it just felt like them through and through, what a cool thing to walk yeah. into, and what a, as a guest, and what a cool thing to live in mm-hmm. as a young married couple, or then a new family.
And I think, again, like if we're looking at what sort of the outline for life we were given mirrored against this one,
yeah,
the outline we were given is like, just have a nice home.
Right. For like
status.
Yes. Thank you.
Like, so right. people know it's nice.
Right.
And you're just like,
but like,
okay,
why?
Yeah. Why?
Like, why have the nice couch you want?
Yeah.
Why have any specific couch you want?
And this is something that I think takes a lot of time. I think there's an element, and Brooke and I, we feel this so much. There's like a financial element where you're just ugh. Like, I just want to do all of it right now.
I want to do any of it right now. Sometimes you're in seasons of that.
And you're just like, we can't afford it.
Right.
You know, the money's tight or the budget's tight or whatever. And so it's, but having a vision for it, then yeah. once the resources come, you then can step into action and kind of make those decisions.
Yeah.
Okay. The thing to watch out for is buying your multi-generational house too early.
Mm.
So this is what we'll get into, which rocked our world in years 10 to 20. But, you know, again, this is like foreign to us as Westerners.
Meaning, okay. That, is it me or you or like,
you know, for thousands of years, families lived near each other and they yeah. kept kind of just growing their land or their compound or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And you lived near aunts, uncles, brothers, sisters, like
yeah, you had your village,
lived and you worked together,
yeah,
and that just doesn't exist anymore. And right. so, the family team's motto and sort of the path that we hope to go down is having a multi-generational house where maybe there's a cottage in the backyard that June and her husband live in when they get started,
right?
You know, and then we build another one and mm-hmm. another, like, and so
I will say I don't think that I want to clarify, I do not intend in this moment in time on preaching this so hard to my kids that they feel guilted into no, living near me or with
not.
Us. That is not what we're saying at all.
But we want our family culture to be strong, so strong that they...
That they would consider it.
That they're like, well, what else would I do?
Why would I move super far?
Yeah.
Or why wouldn't I live in your little Ohana when I first get married? Yeah. Or why, you know...
Why wouldn't I look for a house in your neighborhood?
Yeah, that sounds kind of great stuff. Or yeah. whatever. Yeah.
And so Jeremy tells a story about him like... ruining resale value on some of his houses because he tried to do this too soon,
mm-hmm.
you know? And so, and I think it's something that you, again, this is like a foreign concept to a lot of us. So I think it's something that you need to have a real vision for. And I don't even know necessarily if we have that full vision for it yet.
Me and you. Yeah.
And I think it's something that takes time and really a lot of like deep thought.
Yeah.
And then it takes a lot of resources, especially nowadays where,
yeah,
housing and property and land and all that kind of stuff is just more expensive and
yeah,
you know, kind of outrageous at times. Okay, so that's 0 to 10.
Mm-hmm.
In the community page,
circle page,
yeah, go to it and like someone write, you know, I'm in years 0 to 10, and I'd love to see like kind of where people
the years
are in that.
People are in, yeah.
Years 10 to 20. This is where we are.
Me and you.
Do we have all these things locked in? Absolutely not.
No.
Was this conversation earth-shattering to us? 1,000%. Okay, kids, team spirit, principle, honoring birth order in the team. Mm-hmm. So there's the Western idea is that all kids are equal. Everything has to be fair all yeah. the time.
Right.
The reality is like your kids are born in a certain order. God's giving your kids in a certain order
yeah.
for his purpose and his glory. And so- yeah. Your oldest kid should have responsibility that your youngest kid does not.
Mm-hmm.
Your oldest kid should have freedoms that your youngest kid should not. Your oldest kid should have perks that your youngest kid does not.
Right. Staying up late to watch a movie till 10.
1,000%.
Your 3-year-old is not doing that.
Yeah. And so, and like,
not till there maybe.
And we talk about 10. Like June being our kid captain.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, lately it's been, hey, June, all the kids are watching you
mm-hmm.
to see what you do. So you have to make good decisions
mm-hmm.
because when you make good decisions, Sunny makes good decisions.
Right.
When Sunny makes good decisions, Daisy makes good decisions. So it is coming back to you. There's pressure on you. And that's the reality. Like, and you probably felt that as an oldest.
Yeah. But I think there is a difference in how you talk about it to your kids
Yeah, I've never said there's pressure on you.
No, you've never said that. I wanted to clarify. Like, there is a difference between explaining, like, you are the oldest and you're going to be the oldest of your siblings for your whole life. Yeah. That's not going away when you turn 20 or whatever. Like, that is real and that's where you are in our family. And to have them see it as a gift and to know what some of their responsibilities might be, mm-hmm. that is very different than, like, this shame-filled...
Yeah.
Don't do anything wrong because if you do it, they're going to do it. And like this.
Yeah, it's definitely the way we approach it is definitely like an encouraging, like you're a leader.
Yeah.
You're a leader. And that like that's a place of honor
and
authority. And that's awesome.
Yeah.
And step into that.
Right.
Okay.
And then giving them the tools and the language and all the things to step into that, not being like, figure it out.
Yeah. 100%. Okay. Do we have like an earth shattering?
Oh, is this one? Okay.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Watch out. The number of kids matter in a sibling team dynamic. Okay, here's, ready. Hold on to your hats, people. Especially if you have the same amount of kids that Brooke and I have, or less.
Mm-hmm.
There is social science to show that 4 to 7 kids is the magic number to have the best possibility for a positive turnout for your kids and their relationships with each other.
Mm. And that is not a faith-based or Christian studies at all.
That is like pagan science.
Yep, sure, call it that.
And so yeah, after 7, dynamics get weird and things crazy. You know, crazy and but under 4
or can not always. Yeah.
And again, you'll find,
are there exceptions to everything? Sure.
1000%, but I want to play the numbers.
Right.
And so this one rocked us to be like our,
well, we've talked about more.
Yes.
That we weren't like, we've never considered that. That's not true at all. We've talked about
but
it
a lot.
But this
is definitely like pushed us in like, oh, absolutely. Our family is not done growing.
Right.
I think Brooke is done having babies.
Right.
But our family is for sure not done growing.
Yeah.
And it might do the same to you that like the number of kids you have matters. And mm-hmm. again, if we want to live the good life and see our children's children, like I want to see a lot of them.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And so that just that... It's inspiring. It's a little scary. But that's where my regret comes in of just, I wish we had more earlier. Why are you getting emotional?
I've thought about it before, but like, I do wish that I had more siblings.
Mm. Yeah.
When I think about it through that lens, the gift you're giving them as a unit, as a sibling unit, not just as a family that includes the parents.
Mm-hmm.
And like, that is no judgment or shame towards my parents or anything. And I remember their conversations. Do you want us to have more? We're talking like, it was talked about. Like it wasn't like this, we're done. Like hard, you know, I remember the conversations and I remember at the time of life and that is not, but like, I've talked about it with you.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you're 1 of 6.
Yeah.
So you have different relationships with different siblings.
Yeah, 100%.
You have different ones to turn to for different things.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not, that's very different.
And we're all close to each other in different ways.
In different ways.
Minus one.
Yeah.
But yeah, there is something magical about it. I didn't realize that when I was a kid. I don't think even my parents realized that when we were kids.
Right, probably not.
And so to realize it though, as you're having kids, and this is something that we've talked about before, where the best description I've had of living in Maui is like, you're giving your kids a gift that they won't realize they got until they're much, much older.
Yeah.
That is the same as this.
Right.
The more kids you have, especially if you land in that 4 to 7, which seems to be the magic number. I don't know.
It is brain science proven.
That is a gift you are giving your children.
Yeah.
That they will realize
later
when they have
life.
Children.
Yeah.
And so, yeah. Just a side note, he says, we want to constantly engage our kids' abilities to benefit the family. Like we want to bring things out them that benefit our whole family team and not just them as an individual.
But that's where you pay attention to them as an individual to notice
the scouting
some of
report, which Jeff talks about and take back your family and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Okay. So that was the first one that like was like,
there's 10 to 20 kids.
I don't think it rocked our world, but it definitely like solidified our feelings and like adoption.
It took me from this point to that point with one giant shove.
Yeah.
And then it was done.
Yeah. And so
because I read your notes almost live, like as you were taking them throughout your time there. And I read that one and I was like, doof. All right. Well, there we go.
Yep. Here we go. Let's do it.
It's been made.
I love that. All right. So kids, money, develop your investment thesis principle. Mm-hmm. The father must take a personal responsibility for becoming a disciplined investor. And so for like us, this is finances are not my thing.
Yeah.
Like, and so for me, this was like, I'm going to make the decision to hire a financial planner that I trust and that I know will take care, good care of my money and that like will take my insight and make a good plan.
Yeah.
So I don't know if this necessarily just falls on you as an individual,
figure
if you're a dad,
right,
figure it all out. Cause I, for a long time, that's what I thought. And so, but yeah, like years 10 to 20, you probably have more money than you used to. You probably can take more risks than you maybe used to, or you're building, you have some assets and stuff like that. So like, what are you going to do with them? What are you building towards? I still feel like we have some gray in this area. Part of that was we moved from a very inexpensive place to live to the most expensive place to live by science.
Yeah.
Pagan science. I literally watched a video the other day that Hawaii is the most expensive state to live in by far.
Yeah.
And so that has, worth it.
Yes, but yeesh, it comes with some other stuff.
You feel it though at times.
Yeah.
And so, so I just think
my nephew this morning, did this box of cereal cost $15? And I was like, no, but you're not far off. So let's not talk about
it. We're definitely on our way there. Go eat some grass.
I didn't buy the family size. Did you notice?
So I think like, and again, I think you'll go through seasons of like, cash is flowing in and we're feeling great. And then seasons where it's like, oh man, everything's super tight. And so like, what does your thesis look like in those ebbs and flows? Like what's the, you know, thing to watch out for? Waiting to launch your legacy business because you're putting everything in your scale business. This is a
totally separate talk you guys have had
before. That I just won't go into because I think it'll just kind of, again, Jeremy's always building on things he's already taught us. And so I'll just put that as a side note.
Yeah.
Okay.
But you can take that concept.
Yeah.
Is like with your investment thesis in mind and your family vision in mind and all your things in mind that you've already been building, like don't wait forever.
Yeah.
To start the business or the whatever it's going to be, you could insert in there.
You don't wait forever to start building assets.
Right.
Okay. Wife category. Okay. So kids, money, wife. Resource her Proverbs 32 style. That might need to say 31.
I was like, what is Proverbs 32? Is there a second chapter that I've never tied in? I think it's Proverbs 31, woman. Yeah.
You're transitioning from building a family to establishing a household, which I love.
She is primarily, or you as a unit are?
We as a unit are.
Okay.
But you definitely have more responsibility over that household element of it. Always see her. So watch out that you don't see her just as like, always see her as the woman you fall in love with. Mm. Don't just see her as like, oh, she's just like an old mom now.
Right.
You know,
now there's a fat mom.
Yeah, exactly.
Right.
during this season, your wife has to learn to establish an entire household, which I feel like you have really stepped into specifically in the last 2 years. Mm-hmm. And that's what Home Joy is all about.
Mm-hmm.
I think at this point in life, we might be a little bit of a difference, but especially if you own your business, like your wife has a role in that business and like is engaged in that business in some way, even if it's just to like alleviate like busy work for you so you can dream and work on something big, large scale, like whatever it is. Like if you run a business, like your wife should be engaged in some way.
Yeah.
I think so.
You'd be better off, I think, in a business if it was connected in some sense.
And then in years 10 to 20, this is a great time to employ help around the family. Cleaning lady, laundry service,
meals.
Part-time nanny, meals, like especially if you have the resources to do it because it frees up.
Well, I talk about that in the Home Joy class. Like it's one of, should I give it away or not give it away?
No, you're going to do a Home Joy podcast.
No, I know.
I think next week.
But it is like there is so much shame and culture and I don't even have all
you should be able to do
words.
Everything on your own is 100%.
Figure it out, mama. You're the girl boss. Make it happen. Crush it.
And historically, that's That's an experiment that we're doing right now.
You used to live around other your people.
Takes a Village was a literal thing because
you had a village.
All your people lived in your village.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. And so, but I like it because you tied it into like if the husband's and father's responsibility in years 10 through 20 is to develop your investment thesis, and that can look like turning to help. To hire or to ask or to find a guide.
No one thinks that's weird that I said
Nobody
that.
Nobody thinks that's weird at all. That sounds like a great plan. Hey.
Yeah.
And then I'm like, all right, I'm going to turn to a laundry service for the next 12 months. What?
Oh,
you can't do it all?
You can't handle it? Yeah.
Figure it out, mom.
So.
Which again, is rarely said to somebody's face, but it's 100% said behind their back, which is not, so
maybe
unfair.
Maybe it's not said behind their back. It's believed to be said about them.
Yeah.
And women tend to believe that someone is going to say that about them.
True.
And so then they don't ask for help. And people might not even say that about you.
People might not. That's true.
And so, but I would look at where's the tension point in your life? Is it laundry? Is it cleaning? Is it like 2 hours without kids? Like wherever it is, like I think they're
find the pain point.
Find the pain point. And that could be the place where you start and start really small. Like for us, when we lived in Pennsylvania, it was we had a cleaning lady. Mm-hmm. And that was like for, then we moved. But that was the pain point. And it was a huge difference.
Yeah.
And the financial like responsibility to it can be as great or as little as you can afford.
Right.
But again, in years 10 to 20, if you're a young person thinking of listening to this and you're like 1 year into marriage and you're dirt poor, like
a cleaning lady is probably not the best.
But again, we're not talking to you right now. Like, and so there's an element of when you get to that point in life, you're like, oh yeah, now I see that that is possible. Mm-hmm. So money, our kids, money, wife, rhythms.
Okay.
So
years 10 to 20.
Years 10 to 20.
Rhythms is what you're focusing on.
You have summits.
Yeah.
Yearly summits, quarterly summits, things where you're actually like talking about the big, deep goals of life.
Yeah.
And you're leading your whole family as one team. And so if you had kids early and often, your kids in years 10 to 20.
Are capable of being a part of this.
Being a part of that to some degree. And again, guys in the group have older kids and some of them have ages of like 10 to 12. Some of them are like, oh no, not till 13. Like kind of depends. I think it depends on your kids. I think it depends. I think probably girls can be brought into that stuff a little sooner. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Like,
I think they'd be capable of it. I think you could, I don't know. Do you ask? Like, I don't want to assume just because my daughter might seem more with it at 13 that she wants to be part of it.
Yeah.
Right.
I do think you bring them in even when it, because again, if you can take a 20% hit to productivity with them involved, it's worth it for them to be involved.
Right.
The thing to watch out for, again, the principle is like through your rhythms, you're leading the whole family as a team.
Leading. Yeah.
And you're one team. And the thing to watch out for is like, leave no one behind. We are trying to win each of our kids' hearts. Like, and we don't want to just leave any of them behind, which can happen.
Yeah.
And he gives a couple of notes here. Pay closest attention to the one who is most likely to resist. Mm. Like focus in on that kid.
Yeah.
The entire team dynamic is most determined by the child who is most likely to resist. Mm-hmm. And so if you win their heart, you've won them all.
Right.
And that's what you need to really do. And so something that I've learned and that I don't like doing bedtime. I'm just going to say it. I'm tired. The day is over.
Uh-huh.
I just want to sit and drink my Olipop.
Yeah.
With no one touching me or asking me a question and look at Instagram funny reels of someone saying peanut butter. But I want to win my kid's heart. And I feel like.
Did you know there's science to prove this?
I didn't.
That I've been reading about.
Pagan science?
Pagan science. about bedtime routines.
I know that I will win their heart. That a battleground of winning their hearts is bedtime.
Yeah.
So every night when I don't feel like doing it, I remind myself that I am a parent and I'm going to win my kids' hearts so that we can be one family team.
Mm-hmm.
I step it up every night and I'm doing bedtime and we're doing, we go through seasons of weird games at bedtime. And right now our kids are really into being tossed into their bed. Like,
Hold feet, you hold hands and we swing them.
And we swing them into bed.
One for the money, two for the show, three to get ready and four to go. And,
it's like,
and then they land in their
bed. That season will end. Sometimes they
hopefully sooner than later.
Or
I'm real
Brooke
sore.
And I are gonna get jacked.
So swole. What do you guys do for a workout? We toss our kids into bed every night.
And for some reason, the kids have determine that they compound. So if we miss a night,
it's... we missed it last night. So we get 7 swings now. I'm like, that is 14 swings between the two of you. No, I'm going to veto that hard.
But at the same time, it's like, if this is going to win their hearts, if they're going to look back.
And, oh, they look forward to it.
Yeah. And I mean, when they're older and be like, man, our parents were there. Like they were just there.
Swinging us into bed.
Swinging us into bed. And like, it'll win their hearts. And so I don't want to have regret in years 20 to 30 that I wasn't trying to win their hearts in years 10 to 20.
Yeah.
And I feel like I'm doing a pretty good job of that right now.
Yeah.
Okay. So again, kids, money, wife, rhythms, house, discover your land. Here's another earth-shattering one for us. Decide where you'll be buried.
Which is the concept of thinking about it. Well, literally thinking about it, he's saying. But it's the like, picture yourself at 80 and then do reverse time math to figure out
burial
your life now.
Burial is not about you. It's about where you've established roots.
Mm.
And so for Brooke and I, like, I actually think this kind of rocked every guy that lives on Maui.
100%. That like, seems to be the common thread.
There are so many amazing, beautiful, wonderful things about the islands.
Yeah.
And the hardest thing, though, is the cost.
Mm-hmm.
And so am I living in a place that I'm going to make it super challenging for my kids to live near me?
Yeah.
That they will not be able to afford it because they'll be, you know, it's just hard. And so that's the conversations that we've been having is like, is this our land?
Mm.
Is this where we'll be buried? Is this where we're going to establish roots? And if not, we're about to celebrate 14 years of marriage.
Mm-hmm.
At what point do we decide that it's not?
Right.
And what does that look like? And again, it doesn't have to look all one way. This isn't a pass fail type of outline for life. And so we're having all sorts of conversations about different places in the country.
Yeah.
Mostly warm.
Mm-hmm.
Because that really matters to us. And maybe splitting time, maybe trying to establish two places. Again, this is we're in this season of let's see what this looks like and let's have real honest conversations. And so as you're having these conversations, this one might rock you. Like, do you live in a place like where you don't want to establish roots or where you don't feel like the Lord is calling you to establish roots?
Yeah. Like when you picture your older self.
Yeah. Are you dying, somewhere else?
Literally dying and being buried by your kids and your people. Is that in the place where you're like, yeah, I picked that on purpose because this makes the most sense for all of us and for them.
Yeah. And for future generations.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, that
the answer might be absolutely. This is right where we need to be and where we feel like we're called to be. And so
this is like the conversation that we keep having and deciding and circling back to and talking about. And
you didn't read the watch out.
Yeah. Watch out. And this is really what
you kind of said it, but the principle, decide where you'll be buried.
Watch out. Is there enough opportunity for your kids to expand and thrive in that land?
Mm.
And I even have a parentheses, Brooke and I should really talk about this.
Mm-hmm.
And we have, because I'm not sure if there is.
Right.
But then there's an element of like the call of Maui and the islands is so strong that there is a lot of multi-generational living here.
There actually is a lot.
Where like people like
way more than on the
mainland. I was talking to a friend at the gym and she was telling me, I was asking her, you know, strong believer. She's lived in a lot of different places with her husband. They have kids. And I was like, none of your kids live here. Do you ever miss like, and she said, no, they don't all live here, but I know that for a fact that every single one of them wants to come back.
Right.
And so
sort of working towards that maybe for years 10 to 20.
Yeah.
Or even further.
And so there is that element of like, do we let our girls go? I mean, obviously we have to let them go at some point, but do we give them the vision that like, hey, 0 to 10, go explore, do your thing.
Yeah.
And then 10 to 20, like, but you're working towards 10 to 20 being back here.
Yeah. I don't know. Cause we're still talking about it.
So
literally in real time that it's a little butt clenchy for me to share it because we don't know.
We don't know.
And to admit that sometimes it's hard for me to admit it publicly.
Yeah.
To admit it to you. I'm like, oh yeah, I have no idea what's going on.
But it's also just like, we also are sharing it to just encourage you that you, we might have read through this whole list, zero to 20, and you might be in your 19th of marriage, and you might think, I haven't done any of this.
Right.
That's okay.
It is okay. Because, but now this gives you something to start talking about.
Yeah, 100%. And so, and again, this is all, I also feel like the last 2 weeks have been just like a little sampling, because last week we went over Josh's notes. This week we went over Jeremy's. Yes. Like just a sampling for the event. So like, if you want to talk to Jeremy in person and ask him the questions that I probably don't know the answers to, come to that event.
Gandalf now.
So then the notes end with years 20 to 30. Jeremy is testing this out right now. He'll let us know in 5 years. That's what it says. Mm-hmm. And all it has is a spot for kids.
Mm.
And then the notes end.
Because he's starting over.
Yeah.
Years 20 to, or not starting over.
Yeah, it's kids,
next section.
Money,
kids,
wife,
money, blah, blah, blah.
Rhythm, house.
He has the kids in there, yeah.
Principle. Our kids, radical missionaries, principle, experience the implication of lordship and a total devotion to Jesus.
Mm.
And so his test right now is like he sends all of his kids to YWAM.
Right.
Like that's his thing. He just wants them to like fully embrace sort of that like radical,
right,
Jesus love missionary vibe for them.
Right.
The watch out, which we talk about this a lot, educational experiences that subtly communicate the divine revelation is not real, which is basically all of public school and college.
Yeah.
And so, again, let's have a plan.
There's other options.
You know, I have so many friends who are believers that went to college and now they're not because that's what they do there.
Mm-hmm.
And so,
even if it's not like a outright, let me sit you down, write a paper about it, like it can be very subtle and sneaky, because as we always say, the devil doesn't speak French.
Yeah. And one thing I would add to this, and sort of goes along with the kids element of each, is like
in each
section is like
decade or whatever you want to call
absolutely
it.
Absolutely need to have digital limits, like digital rules, screen rules in every decade.
Mm.
You know, and
for yourself?
For your kids. Specifically for your kids, like we have kids in our neighborhood that watch TikTok. And they're like 10 years old. And I'm just like, it's literally melting their brain into mush.
Right.
Like, and so have those rules. That's just like a separate sidebar that like I have been thinking about a lot. And like your kids, there will be a point where your kids are like so angry at you that they are the only ones without a cell phone.
Yeah.
But I've literally heard Jeremy's kids say this, his daughters say this.
Yeah.
We were also the only kids without eating disorders and extreme depression.
Mm-hmm.
And so like we're old enough now to realize that that was worth it.
Right.
And so stand firm and stand fast.
Yeah.
That those.
Well, I feel like it's another gift. It's like, we've kind of been saying this a few times. Like there are lots of things in life that your kids will not realize the gift they were until they're older.
Yeah.
And I feel the same way looking back at my childhood, which 100%. Was wonderful.
Yes.
So great.
Yeah.
Like there are so many gifts I didn't realize and couldn't put words to until I was married myself or had my first kid or, you know, whatever.
So yeah, so that's where the notes end.
There's one final line.
And then he says,
which I love. That
the calling on your life is not the same on the calling as the calling on their life. And so we always need to remember that like
so
our kids
powerful.
Are going to be followers of Jesus the way he's called them to be.
Yes.
Not the way we've called them to be.
Right.
And so to not grip it tightly, but not take it lightly.
Yeah.
Is super valuable. So, 117.
Wow. Yeesh. Now that we moved it over, I can't see the time.
But I feel like that gives us a more...
I'm probably not looking at it and feeling like,
conversation of just like, let's just actually talk about it as long as we need to.
Yeah.
That's it. Mm. Again, text me, or not text me. Instagram message me 165 if you want the notes, or just go
Instagram
to the show.
Message Walk in Love.
Yeah, Walk in Love. Or go to the show notes, or I'll put a link in the community page. I'll put it all the places so you can find them.
Yeah.
And go buy your tickets for the best is yet to come event.
Yeah.
We're so jacked for it. And I would love to, one of my highlights of last year was meeting you, those of you that came to the Christmas extravaganza.
Yeah.
And so to have another opportunity to meet even more of you and meet your spouses, your husbands and your wives, like that sounds awesome. So do it, come, it will be worth it. It's $199 for two tickets. So like you buy your tickets as a couple.
Which is like a two pack.
I was working on some website copy. Actually, I don't have this on the website, but like the average counseling session is like $2,100. The average divorce is $21,000. The average family vacation is like $7,000.
Right.
This is $199,000. Yeah. And this will have a bigger impact than all those things, I think. Obviously, well, divorce would have a bigger impact, but in the wrong way.
In the wrong direction.
This will prevent that impact. Mm-hmm. So we hope to see you there. Buy your tickets at the early bird price. I believe the early bird price will run through the end of April, but we haven't made that firm decision. So just buy them today.
Yeah.
Just get it out of the way. All right.
Okay.
Thank you for listening. Thank you for making us a part of your week. Okay. I love you. Bye.